Blessings to Israel presents Discerning the Times, a program committed to encouraging you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Now, in honor of the one and only true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please join us for today's program.
On March 13th, God revealed some truth to me. He showed me how real heaven and hell is, mostly how real demons are. As a saved Christian, I stood in the fact that God loved me and would never let anything harm me. But on March 13th, I learned that as a saved Christian, filled with the Holy Spirit, I was bound. The devil had some strongholds on my life, and I didn't know what those strongholds were.
Welcome to Discerning the Times. My name is Brian Thomas. Such a blessing to be with you as always. And that opening clip is the voice of my guest today, who is sharing her testimony of being freed from the bondage of a sorority. So we are really excited and looking forward to hearing from her. But before we bring her in, I want to remind you, as we always do, that your eternal state is far more important than your current state. That means if you have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire separated from our Lord. It is our desire that you come to Jesus Christ so that you will have everlasting life. And your present state is not to be minimized, because what you do today in this side of life is going to determine your eternal state. So please, if you have never received him, come to Jesus Christ on today. All right, folks. So again, we are very blessed today to have Brittany Boone, who is our special guest, to share with us her testimony on denouncing from AKA. So Brittany, it is such a blessing to have you. And I want to thank you for taking time out to come on to speak with us today on Discerning the Times.
Thank you for having me.
So I really commend and applaud you for your stand and your publicly denouncing AKA, and the fact that you stated that you were in bondage as a result of it. But before we get into your testimony, please share with our audience anything that you would like for them to know concerning your background.
Sure. So I was born and raised in a Kojic denomination, Church of God in Christ. So I've known God my whole life. Just was born into a church Holy Spirit home. And, but when I graduated high school, I graduated church as well. And I was just so determined to live my own life and be more on the rebellious side, I guess because I was raised in a church home and I just wanted to see what life had to offer. So, in my young 20s, when I was 22, I got pregnant by my boyfriend, who's now my husband. And that led me to start my own personal walk with God. That's when the first time I had literally opened up a Bible since I was a child. And since then, I've continued to walk with God and grow in God. But this year, now I'm 32, I've just come to a new level in my spiritual walk with God. And I've just been revealed a lot of truth this year. And I love where I'm at right now with God.
Amen. And that's the wonderful thing about our Lord, is that he is so grace-filled and so merciful that even when we stray away, as long as we're willing to turn back to him, he welcomes us back with open arms. And so that is so great that you're at a point today in which your walk with Christ is where you are happy with. So I'm so glad to hear that. So again, we are going to talk about your denouncing from AKA. And you posted a video on YouTube, which is where I found you. And it was such a great testimony. And we're going to share with our listeners how they can watch that video. And the opening clip was actually a portion of that. But to get us started, you mentioned in your testimony that you went on a fast. Why did you choose to do that?
Yes. So I really wanted to empty myself and to make sure I was hearing God and not myself. I just wanted to flush out all of the noise that could pop up in my mind or in my spirit and just make sure I was hearing God clearly.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad to see that you mentioned the fast, because I love to fast myself, and I promote it. I'm an advocate for it. And it's interesting the number of people that I see when I say something to them about fasting. They look at me as if I'm crazy, and they say, what are you talking about going without eating and drinking? But fasting is powerful, folks. I mean, it works. And there are times in which God will really reveal things to you and show things. And that's when strongholds get broken during times of fasting. So I encourage people out there to please fast. If it's something that you've never done, do so. And I'm very glad to hear that you chose to do that as well. And as a result of the fast, you said that the Holy Spirit led you to do something. What was that happened?
Yes. The Holy Spirit moved very quickly, because I was, at the beginning of the fast, I told God, I was like, I'm not eating or drinking anything until I know what has me bound. And that was like early Tuesday morning, and around 8:30-ish, I was just led to search. I quoted this, it's AKA a cult. I searched that in Google. And as soon as I searched that, someone came to my mind who I had just met a couple months earlier. I learned that she was an AKA and that she went to the same college I went to. And she just told me, she said, well, I'm no longer affiliated with AKA. Like, that was it. We were in a public setting, so we didn't talk much, but we did exchange numbers. And so I texted her. I was like, hey, you know, for some reason, I have this question in my mind, which is weird because I had been inactive for 8 years, and just a couple of days prior, which was a Sunday, I was on AKA's website trying to figure out how I can reactivate my membership. So I told her all this, and that's when she told me about that she had denounced and renounced, and I was like, what? What? So that led me on to the journey that I went on that day.
Mm. It's just amazing the way the Holy Spirit will guide us, folks. And that's why I lead the program off with the way that I do for those who have never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because, yes, I am stressing your eternal state, but also in living on this side of life, we have the Holy Spirit living within us as our guide. And it's amazing. I could give testimony after testimony of incidents in which I have been seeking the Lord about something, and the Holy Spirit will just take the reins and guide me right in the direction that God wants me to go in. And that is something that we must trust. And when I say that, I mean the person of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Trinity, in which we can trust, and he does guide us. And so as a result of that, you also then you sought out testimony from others who had also denounced, correct?
Yes. So that woman that I had reached out to, she sent a denouncement testimony of one of her close friends who was a Delta. And so she was like, just watch this. I believe that God will speak to you through this. And so I watched it, and I was like, oh my goodness, I related to everything she was saying. And at the same time, it was so new to me that I was like, and she was a Delta. So I was like, let me find somebody, because maybe that's just for Deltas, you know. Like, I knew after I watched it, I was like, I know I need to denounce, but I still need to understand from someone who was in the same organization that I was in, too, and just hear their side of it. And so I watched a denouncement video of two sisters who denounced AKA. And that for sure, when I was like, okay, this is nothing but God speaking to me right now. And I watched a few other denouncement videos after that. And yeah, God kept confirming his word in every single one.
Amazing. And we're going to talk about it more in a few minutes, but I want to stress to our audience that you stated you were in bondage. And so what you're speaking of right now is the way in which God was delivering you from the bondage, that process that was happening of what was going through, what you were going through. And you also mentioned in your testimony about the two spiritual realms. And so I want to play a clip of that before we go into the next thing to talk about the spiritual realm. And also, I want you to speak about the ritual books and the things that you went through during your time of pledging. But before we go to that, here's a clip of your testimony concerning the two spiritual realms.
This led me to understand that I made some agreements in the spiritual realm. Now, let me pause right here by saying, making it very clear, there are two spiritual realms, the light and the dark. God reigns in the light and the devil reigns in the dark. Anything that's not done in the light is demonic. So I pulled up the AKA ritual book that I found on Google and read through the rituals, prayers, hymns, and acts I had to do to become an AKA. I could see these moments replayed clearly in my mind. But at the moment of doing these things, I had no clue that what I was doing was demonic. The ritual book clearly states that AKA is a spiritual organization, not a Christian organization, just that it's spiritual.
All right. So, Brittany, talk to us about the spiritual realm and also, again, the rituals that you went through during this process of pledging.
Yes. So the spiritual realm was really just the whole reason I had initially went on the fast was because I actually it was from a movie I watched called Come Out in Jesus' Name. I don't know if you've seen that, but it really, as a Christian, I had always known that God loved me and that he wanted the best for me. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I just walked in grace, in the grace that God provides for us. And I just never really tried to pay too much attention to Satan. You know, like they say a lot in church now, don't give the devil too much credit. I was living off of that. I was like, I ain't trying to give the devil no credit. But deep down, I didn't realize until that movie, I think it was just out of fear of the devil, because I was giving him too much credit and too much power, thinking that he was, you know, just more than he was. So anyways, from that movie, I just realized that how real the demonic realm is. And I realized through watching a lot of those announcement videos too, it's the rituals that we had to do. Like I stated, the book clearly says, the ritual book clearly says that it's a spiritual organization. And when I was going through the initiation process, I remember it very clearly, like them saying, you know, this is spiritual. But in my mind, especially just my young, naive mind, I'm thinking spiritual equals Christianity. I'm not thinking anything else other than Christian. So I'm like, oh yeah, this is a Christian organization. But no, it just says it's spiritual. And it then takes a lot of scriptures from the Bible, not even quoting like where the scripture is coming from, but just taking the exact words that's in the Bible and replacing God with the word Alpha Kappa Alpha, or THEE in capital letters. And so so much was being revealed to me in opening. I just Googled it. I didn't even have the ritual book with me. I just Googled it. And just so much was being revealed to me when I read through that again.
Hmm. Wow. So let me get this straight. So in these ritual books, they actually pull Bible verses out, scriptures, but they take God's name, they take God out, and they replace it with either AKA or THE or the.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you know that this is a spiritual battle, because why would anyone want to change the Bible? Why would anyone want to take the word of God and change it? And we know that the Bible gives a warning at the end of the book of Revelation concerning taken away from the words of the book, meaning anyone that changes the scripture, there's a very stern warning that God gives for that. So that makes it very clear for people out there who may be in denial, because I'm sure there are some who are listening. They may say, well, this is just her perception of things, or, you know, just the way she views it. But it should be very clear that this is a spiritual battle that has taken place between the light and the dark. Because from what I've been told from others, I never actually pledged a fraternity myself, but from what I've been told from others who have, is that also with these ritual books and the things that you're doing, is that there's a lot of secrecy involved, correct?
Yep, very much.
And that should be a telltale sign, because when you look at the Bible is not secret. The Bible is open. As a matter of fact, God wants everybody to read the Bible, whether you are a believer or not. And really, we want non-believers to open it and read it, to become a believer. So it's not a matter of, well, you have to be a Christian first before you can read the Bible. No, it's an open book for everyone. So the fact that there's all this secrecy there, that should be a telltale sign for anyone out there who maybe you're on the fence about this. And also tell me, Brittany, I think you mentioned also during the pledging or going through the rituals, I think you mentioned about wearing dark clothing. Is that correct?
Yes. And also we wore dark clothes, but also the secrecy, like in the rituals, there's secrecy. And it says that in the book, like keep everything secret. And, you know, even Jesus said, like you said, I have done nothing in secret. And also the underground things that happen, that is not, you can't find that on Google, like the actual pledging process that happens that is not allowed even by the organization. You know, all of that is definitely done in secret too. So there is a lot of secrecy done there. And yet, and a part of the actual ritual, which is quote unquote the above ground process, which everybody has to do to become an AKA or any Divine Nine organization. Yeah, one part of that was that we had to wear all black during our intake process.
Okay. So as the Holy Spirit is revealing these things to you, so is it at this point that you made the decision to renounce the sorority?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, when the first announcement video that I watched, the one that my friend sent to me, I knew then watching her video that I needed to denounce. And oddly enough, like I can't even explain this because like I said, 2 days earlier, I was trying to reactivate my AKA membership. But when I knew I had to denounce, I felt excitement about it. I was like excited to denounce. So again, I know that was nothing but the Holy Spirit in me, just probably excited for me that I had, you know, been revealed that truth.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And how did it go with your circle of family and friends when they learned about your decision?
Surprisingly, not well at all. I didn't know what to expect, but yeah, my very close family members, some who are Greek, some who are not Greek, they tried to stop me just because they family always wants what is best for you. And sometimes what is best for you, if they don't understand it, they will try to stop you from doing it. So they didn't see that me denouncing was best for me because they didn't necessarily understand it, which I understand too, because when I was an AKA, anytime I heard about somebody denouncing, one, I didn't want to understand why. And two, I just kind of looked at it. It was like, okay, they're exaggerating. They're taking this whole, you know, denouncement thing way too far. So I definitely took it hard. It was very hard to hear their reactions. But now since time has passed, it has definitely got a lot better. But the initial shock was just an initial shock on both sides.
Yeah. And that's the thing, to follow Christ, there sometimes we're going to be ostracized by it, even by people close to us. And that's not, it's not easy to do. We have to admit that it is painful. But, you know, when I look at the Gospels, when I read the Gospels and you see the accounts in which when Jesus was appointing or designating those who would be his inner circle, the apostles. And if you recall, as Jesus approached them, he was telling them to leave behind certain things, certain jobs or even people in some cases to follow him. And that is something that we all must be willing to do, because sometimes we do have to leave people behind. And in saying that, it doesn't mean you completely cut off the relationship. But what it means is that even if they are in disagreement with what you're doing, you still have to put Christ first, because we have to love Jesus first and foremost before everything. And again, that hurt that we feel, though, from those who are in disagreement. And sometimes there are people that unfortunately will cut you off for making those type of decisions. But I am so grateful for your faithfulness in saying, well, I'm going to just follow Christ. I'm going to be obedient to what he is leading me to do, because you said that you had changes in your life as a result of making this decision. So talk to us about what changed in your life. How were things different after you made this decision?
Yeah, so the first thing I noticed was that I was just seeing and hearing things completely different. Like, literally, the scales from my eyes were removed. And I started looking at things that I was doing differently. I'm like, how did I think this was okay? And I lost desires for things like drinking, secular music, my fantasies of becoming a big, bad boss girl, riding private jets and all that, just living my best life. Mm-hmm. I let go of all of those desires. I started to view my life as eternal rather than just this life that we have here on earth. Mm. And I'm thankful for that. I just, I definitely, all of the decisions I make now are not of this world. They're for my eternal life.
Amen. Amen to that. And that's one of the things that I stress so much. And this is something that troubles me a lot, because I see a lot of people who profess Christ, but they live their lives as if this life is all there is to it. But this life is just, it's like a blink of an eye in comparison to eternity. I mean, the best is yet to come, and we have to be eternally minded. And as you said, the things that you're doing, you're looking at it spiritually through the right spirit, the right side of the spiritual life, which is the spirit of light. And it's causing you to have that right perspective. And it's amazing how when you come to Christ, he takes certain desires away from you. I was listening to a radio show just yesterday, and a man was saying how he was witnessing to a non-believer about coming to Christ. And the guy said, no, he wasn't ready to do that. And when he asked him why, he said, well, I don't want to give up my sin. He said, I don't want to stop going out to the club. I don't want to stop fornicating. I don't want to stop all these things that he said he enjoyed. And the man told him, he said, well, see, that's the thing, though. When you come to Christ, when the Holy Spirit indwells you, those desires go away. You're not going to want to have those things anymore. Doesn't mean you won't have some temptations, but those desires completely change. And like you said, your perspective and what you see and how you view things, it totally changes. And you also mentioned the freedom from bondage. I think you mentioned things like fear and pride and anxiety prior to this, and those things went away, right?
Yes, that was something major I definitely noticed too. Especially the whole fear piece and pride. I think one, being affiliated with AKA, I had so much pride in that alone. I'm sure, I don't know if you know any people that are Greek, but it's kind of like once you become that, it's like, yeah, I'm this, I'm an AKA, mm-hmm. I'm a Delta. And you kind of wear that as a badge of honor and thinking that that will open up doors for you. And so that's definitely where I was. And just in everything I was doing, I had a lot of pride and fear of people. I noticed whenever I did renounce, because I renounced first, and I just felt a huge, like in my spirit, just felt so much lighter. I was like, I don't have to care so much of what people think about me. I don't have to be fearful of people. That was always like one of my fears, just what people would think about me. And just for me to even do this, that's how I know it's nothing but God, because I'm not the type of person to do things that are outside of the box, or just like, I just don't like stepping on toes. I don't like being controversial. I don't like, I'm always like known as the quote unquote good girl, like playing it safe. And so for me to even speak out on this, that is, you know, for sure knowing that some of those things that had me bound are lifted. And it's not saying that I'm perfected in any way, because there's still many things that God's trying to deliver me from. But the ones that I noticed immediately was fear, intimidation, anxiety, and pride.
That's powerful. And you're right. We are all a work in progress, and it's just a continual process. But as we walk in our maturity with the Lord, that walk is going to cause us to mature and grow stronger and stronger in the faith. And so to our audience, I want you to hear these words. If you're out there and you're battling with things like anxiety, and we hear that a lot today, people struggling with things concerning mental health, if you're battling with things like anxiety, or it could even be a physical ailment, maybe you're going through financial struggles, it just seems like you can't get ahead, or maybe there are troubles within your marriage, within your family members, whatever it is, stop and ask yourself, could it be that you are facing bondage due to your affiliation with these fraternities and sororities? That very well could be the thing that you need to do. Well, I know for sure you need to come out of it. But in doing so, you may very well find that those things that you have been in bondage to will be lifted. They will go away. So to wrap us up, Brittany, can you speak to us about 10 things that you shared in your testimony concerning your renouncement? Share those 10 things with the audience that God shared with you.
Yes, so there were many scriptures that God revealed to me that just literally from one way or another, I came across during this whole process of coming out. And there were 10 for sure that just really got me through the whole process. Because honestly, it was a process going in and it was a process coming out. So one of the first one was that my identity is in Christ. And that there's actually a few scriptures that speak on this, Romans 15 and 17, Ephesians 3 and 17, Ephesians 1 and 15, they speak on our identity is in Christ. But for me, what that meant was my identity is in Christ and not in my Greek letters or not in my business or not in anything else other than Christ. Another one was that God has not given me a spirit of fear. And that really, Timothy 1 and 7. And that really spoke to me about what I talked about before, just being fearful of people and caring about what they think about me and the actions that I'm making. And another one was Exodus 20 and 3, you must have no other gods before me. And this is what I was reminded of a lot when I read in the ritual book, and just literally how we were being taught to honor the organization above all else, to have it in our hearts, minds, and soul. And it was really, and a lot of people that are Greek, they'll tell you, I ain't worshiping my Greek organization, and not the only God I serve is God. But if you really look at it, they really do have things, even if they're not active, it's spiritual. Again, it's having those things that they are putting their trust in other than God. Mm-hmm. Another one was Leviticus 4:13-14, where it talks about if the Israelite community sins by violating one of the Lord's commands, then, and they don't realize it, they are still guilty. And they must present an offering to the Lord. And so that made me think about how when I went through those rituals, I was 18, 19 years old. And so I mean, that was over 10 years ago. I didn't even hardly know what I was saying. I was like half delusional through it all. And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. But now that I know, it's like now that I know the truth, if I do nothing about it, I'm still guilty. And I was like, I don't want that guilt on my hands. Another one was Exodus 20 and 5. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of their parents upon their children, and the entire family is affected, even the children in the third and fourth generation. And so this immediately made me think about my children. I have two kids, and I was like, if they are going to be cursed, you know, we learn about generational curses all the time. And I'm like, if they are going to be cursed and bound by things that I did, that's not okay. I'm not okay with that. And so because of my children, I was like, that's another verse that really made me realize, okay, yeah, you're on the right path with this coming out. And then 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, it says, therefore, come out from among unbelievers and separate yourselves from them. Don't touch their filthy things, and I will welcome you. And so many things came to me when I came across the scripture. It's not just the people, not just the people that are in the organization still. It's the spiritual side of it. It's those demonic spirits that I allowed myself to, that I gave a foothold to in my life, those demonic spirits. I had to come out from among them and be separated from them. In Deuteronomy 18:10-12, it says, "There shall not be anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or who practices witchcraft, or conjures up spells, or a medium, or a spiritualist, or calls upon the dead." And so a few things came to me with this. One thing I was reminded of reading the ritual books is one part of the ritual is where we had to get a candle. And, well, there was a candle on a table, a picture of Ethel, who was the founder of AKA, and ivy wrapped around the candle. And we literally had to bow to it and say prayers to it and sign her name in books. And what I didn't realize it at the time, but we were literally conjuring up those her spirit to be there with us in that moment. And also just a part of the underground process is literally to, in order to quote unquote cross, you have to cross the burning sands. And so that was like a physical manifestation of what we were doing spiritually as well. And so, and also Deuteronomy 13:2-3 reads, if they say, come, let us worship other gods, gods you have not known before, do not listen to them. The Lord is testing your heart and soul. And so that again was one thing is that all of Greek organizations are associated with Greek gods. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the specific ones that AKA is associated with, but I know that one, they're not God, mm-hmm. The God that I serve. And also just the things that the organization worships, like themselves and everything that they're doing, not what God is doing for them or through them. It's always them. And I had never known of AKA before college or none of their founders that we were giving all the praise to. But I did know God. And so that's why I was like, and that's another thing. Another one was Galatians 1:10, where it says, "For now am I seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." And so that, again, goes back to my whole, in my mind, the devil definitely was mad that I came out. And I faced that week in particular. I faced a lot of spiritual attacks. And so he was definitely in my mind telling me that I was thinking too much and, you know, just this was not necessary. And I was thinking, especially before I did the announcement video, I was thinking, you know, I don't have to do this. You know, this is just taking it too far. But I was really just thinking, what are people going to think of me? What are people going to say if I come out? What are people going to say if I publicly come out? And I was just thinking too much about approving man. And the last one is Matthew 5:33, "But you shall perform unto the Lord your oath." And so I knew that, again, in the rituals we had to do, we were performing oaths, but not unto the Lord. It was unto AKA.
Wow. And you are so right as far as these Greek sororities and fraternities being tied to idol gods. And we have some that we're going to share on the screen for those of you who are watching the video version of the podcast, that yes, that is throughout. And we know that idolatry is forbidden. We are only to worship the one and only true God. That is the God of the Bible. And so you are definitely right on that. And I also want to touch on, you mentioned about the praying to the deceased founder of the sorority. And as you said, we are not to conjure up spirits of the dead. The Bible makes that very clear. That's called necromancy. We are forbidden to do that. And I did a podcast a while back concerning the Black Lives Matter organization, because that's what they were doing when they would go out in the streets to protest. They were conjuring up spirits of the dead, and the Bible forbids us doing that. So it is so important, folks, for us to know what it is that we're doing, because the Bible says in the book of Hosea, we perish because of lack of knowledge. And that is what we are here to do today. My sister Brittany, she's not here to condemn anyone or to look down upon anyone, but she wants all of us to be free from bondage. And the way to have that freedom is to gain knowledge and to know by way of the leading of the Holy Spirit that we are to come out from among these things. So Brittany, this is such a great testimony, and I pray that so many will be blessed by it. What I want to do to close this out is I want to play from your video clip in which you give the testimony, because you did a great job of putting the scriptures on the screen. So I want to share that. So for anyone that maybe could not write them down, they'll be on the screen. So I want to share that real quick in closing, and then we'll come back and have you give some final words.
I'm going to end with this. If you feel a twinkle or a tug in your spirit, don't ignore it. That's the Holy Spirit. He wants your attention. If you feel led to renounce, or someone was laid on your spirit while watching this, this next part is for you. The devil does not like to be lonely. Anytime someone breaks ties with him, he gets even madder and tries to get them back. So keep these 12 verses near and dear to your heart. I'm actually just gonna let them be right here, and you can screenshot this and make sure you read them, because the easy part would be to just screenshot it and forget about it. Don't forget about it. Actually go to your Bible. If you have to use the app, if you have to search it on Google, read these scriptures for yourself and keep them in your heart and your mind. But I pray that your hearts be flooded with light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, Brittany, any final words that you have for the listening audience?
I would just say to always pray about everything and go back to the Word. The Word never lies. Don't try to make the Word work in your favor, but really pray that the Holy Spirit reveal truth to you in the Word, and He will. The Holy Spirit is there to guide and to reveal truth. And like you mentioned earlier, a lot of people that don't fully surrender to God, you know, maybe they're already a believer, but they haven't fully surrendered. I think it may be because you don't want to give up certain things in your life. I tell you, I never considered myself an alcoholic. And I did mention this in the testimony as well, but I had to have a drink of wine all throughout the weekend, every single weekend. And I didn't know it at the time, but that was nothing but a spirit wanting something, something. It just had to be fed, whether it's food, whether it's porn, whether it's alcohol, drugs, you know, there could be a demonic spirit that is just needing to be fed. And so, but when you fully surrender to God, He takes those desires away. And it, like you said also, it doesn't mean that you won't be tempted, but you don't have a desire for those things. And there's so much freedom in that. There's so much freedom in just living who you are without trying to drown yourself in your sorrows. Like, you end up just living for God, and He makes everything. He brings peace to every moment, even in the struggles.
Amen. That is so well said. I'm so glad that you close things out in that way, because as you said, true freedom is when you bring the flesh into submission, because we're in a battle with the flesh. Those cravings, the desires of the flesh, you're right, it's what those demonic spirits want us to fulfill. But when you feed the Spirit, you find that those fleshly cravings will flee. They will go away. And I'll just share this one last thing before we finish, is that I was listening to someone speaking the other day on a radio program, and they were also given a testimony. But they were speaking about how when we went through this whole women's liberation movement way back in the 1960s and 70s, of women saying, well, they had the freedom to go out and be free to have sex with whoever they wanted, whenever they wanted, like men were doing that. You know, that was the whole movement. But they were saying as time has gone on, as a lot of these women now are getting to their elderly ages, a lot of them are living with regret because what they have come to realize is that what they thought was freedom was actually bondage, because they could not say no to their flesh. They were just giving in to what the flesh desired. And so that is the way the devil deceives us. He tries to say, well, you have the freedom to do this and you have the freedom to do that. But the thing about it is, if you cannot say no to it and stop doing it, that means you're in bondage to it. You are a slave to that sin. And so true freedom comes through our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I'm so glad that you shared that with the audience. And people, if you want true freedom, follow the words of what Brittany is saying, because you will find it if you look to our great Lord and Savior. So, Brittany, I want to thank you again. It has just been wonderful speaking with you. I pray that God will continue to order your steps and to just encourage you to keep speaking the word, keep speaking the truth, because a lot of people are going to be blessed by the things that you are sharing. So thank you so much. And we look forward to having you back on in the future.
Thank you for doing this and for having me. I truly appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. Definitely my pleasure. All right. And to our listening audience, please come back and join us again next week as we continue to encourage you to discern the times by viewing life through the lens of the Bible. Until then, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Bless God's great nation of Israel. And to the only wise God, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Discerning the Times. Please come back and join us next week as we continue to encourage you to view current events through the lens of the Bible. Until next time, remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, bless God's great nation of Israel, and seek first the kingdom of God.